the first album was, you know, Jeff and I had no idea how it would work or if we'd be able to write or do anything, you know. So to then have an album finished, it wasn't really, there was no big plan at that point. We just met during a Buggles show, a reformed Buggles show in London. And we got on so well, and I'm such a fan of Jeff, and he's such a good guy, that we said, we've got to write. So there was no great plan, really. So when that album came out, there wasn't much promotion behind it. Because we just thought it was, yeah, we'll do it. And if people like it, great. And if not, then we'll go back into our hiding places. And, you know, but the reaction was really, it was heartwarming. I mean, people really did like it. I still get emails now saying, I love that record you did.
And it obviously gave you the incentive, really, to make album number two. With your songwriting, do you find that if you collaborate with someone, and I'm thinking immediately of Jeff Downes, actually, but does it rein in your worst excesses and acts as like a sort of counterbalance? You know, because generally you tend to think of songwriters like yourself, really, Chris, you know, working perhaps in isolation and presenting your final product, as it were, to a welcoming artist, let's say. But what happens when you collaborate with people? Although I know you might say, well, I collaborate with producers as well, but, you know, if you're doing something like a joint project, as you are with Jeff Downes, do you enjoy that sort of collaborative arrangement?
Oh, yeah, very much so. I mean, it's really about working with people you have a kindred spirit with, I suppose, or some kind of, you know, with Jeff, because I know those records so well from his early career. I know instinctively how he likes to play and write, so, and I'm very influenced by those records, so it seems like a natural thing. I'll do something back and he'll go, oh, that's nice, you know. And it's like that is a very joyful thing, really. There's never any situation where either Jeff or I say, I'm not sure about that, you know, can you change that? Never like that. It's always, that's great, love that. What about this? And it's like a tennis match until you build the tennis court. That's strange.
No, analogy. What you're saying, really, it's an intuitive thing. And is this basically because you're both at the top of your game, really, in terms of what you're doing? And you know, that element of critique doesn't really come in as much as it might do if, you know, you were of a lesser, you know, lesser proportions, let's say, in terms of what you've achieved and what you do.
Yeah, I think you're right there, actually. I think it's confidence, isn't it? I think if you're confident in what you do and you believe in it, then it's... I always say that when I'm writing with people, actually. If you write from the heart, then it almost is beyond criticism in a way. Not that I'm shy of criticism, because some constructive criticism is really great and helpful, but if you write or produce records from the heart, then you're kind of in a safe place. So I think, yes, you're right. I think it's confidence and believing in your own, what you do is good, and not being afraid that, you know, if you play something that you're going to be laughed out of the room, because that's always a thing that scares people when they're, I think, younger and starting out in this business. Sort of like a writer friend of mine would say, okay, I'm going to dare to suck now, as he presents his idea to the room. You know, and really he's being facetious, but that's what it's like in the early days.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what if I play this and everyone thinks it's shit?
Uh-huh. You
know? So yeah, it's I think what you said is right,
basically. Yeah. Now, I mean, we should just remind listeners, because we haven't mentioned it, and let's really lay this on thick. Why not, indeed? I mean, you've written for Britney Spears, Beyonce. I think you've produced one of her albums or co-produced it. Paloma Faith, Lana Del Rey, Mark Almond. We're not saying we are the oracle here, but we like to think we do know some of those backroom people and hardworking songwriters. And as I say, it's only in the last few years that we've really been aware of your work, you know, your albums. And then, of course, you explore the very early stuff, which we've mentioned, hooking up with Jeff Downes, who's done any number of projects over the years. I mean, very productive. Did you see the DBA arrangement giving you, perhaps personally, a more rock orientated approach, if I can put it like that? It might be a soft rock orientated approach, or whatever you want to call it. Whereas perhaps your more recent songwriting has been more in the pop style, you know, for various big name artists. You know, it's another outlet, isn't it, really?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, my heart is very much in that sort of, I suppose, like you say, it is, you know, slightly softer. When you say rock, it implies, you know, heavy guitars and stuff, and it's not that, but my heart is definitely in that progressive rock genre. And, you know, I'm always one step from putting that leather jacket on and pretending to be Robert Plant, so it's no problem for me to make those records. I mean, it's a joy, really.
Yes.
It's where my heart is. I'm making the records that I actually want to make now, whereas originally, in the beginning, I think it was a bit of a battle. You know, I was doing, you know, I mean, I'm proud of them now, and I listen back, and they weren't bad, those couple of solo albums that I did, but at the time, I was thinking, I want to be doing this, you know. They signed me on this song, and I don't want to do this song, I never want to play this song, like you do when you're young and annoying. But now I'm much happier making these kind of records.
Bit more
the natural,
yeah.
Progression.
Bit more chilled out, really. I suppose, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think part of my personality is hugely extrovert. Although this is the paradox: if you stood me on a stage in front of 3,000 people, I'd be very comfortable. So, and I meet a lot of people in the business like that. I mean, Mark Almond, you mentioned. He's such a lovely guy, and I produced his last album, The Velvet Realm, and it was a joy. But Mark's such a sweet guy, and he's very, you know, quite shy. But standing on a stage, and he's like this larger than life, you're like, wow, you know, all this confidence. So it's an interesting psychological, I suppose, study, really. But I think I've just remained quite comfortably in the background, if you like, because it was working, and I was still making music, and I was really enjoying what I was doing. But you never get rid of that little side of you, that voice in your head, the alter ego, if you like, that voice that says, yeah, but you need to get your guitar out, mate, and do your own thing for a bit now. You've put that to bed for long enough, you know. I'm not going to stay silent forever. And it's like that other side of you. And anyone who's been a performer or has that in them, in their sort of soul, if you like, you can't not do that. You can't put that to bed forever. It won't rest. And so this is where I am right now, really. That because I'm in a position where I can afford, I suppose, I mean, time-wise more than financially, I mean, to make records that I really want to make. You know, it's a good time for me to sort of poke my head above the surface, if you like.